This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
You're listening to Breaking Waves on Eastside FM with your hosts, Alex Healy
and Jewel Scott.
Tonight, we have a very special guest joining us, Melbourne contemporary artist, Gabby Scott. Welcome, darling.
What a title. Thank you.
I'm really happy to be here. This is my first radio experience and I'm excited about the topics we have lined up for tonight.
Same here. We're going to be diving into the importance of privacy, male and female friendships, and of course, most importantly, mental health.
Yeah, and I remember you saying that we were going to talk about travels at some point, and I'm excited to share mine for this year and navigating family dynamics, especially on holiday.
It is Breaking Waves. We are keeping it real and helping you ride into 2025 a little stronger, a little healthier, and a whole lot happier.
So let's kick the show off with Coldplay. This is Adventure of a Lifetime on Breaking Waves.
Turn your magic on, let me see it say, everything you want to dream away. We are legends every day, that's what she told me. Turn your magic on, let me see it say, everything you want to dream away. Under this pressure, under this weight, we are diamonds. I feel my heart beating, I feel my heart underneath my skin. I feel my heart beating. You make me feel like I'm alive.
Adventure of a Lifetime.
and I'm about to go on an adventure of a lifetime. I'm leaving for a 4-week trip to Thailand tomorrow. So this whole week has been a massive preparation and so stressful. I had to get 6 vaccinations.
Holy damn.
Whoa.
The doctor was like, "You clearly didn't think about this. Did you? Like, you were last minute have come." And I said, "Yeah, it's true." And the most expensive one, which really threw me, was for Japanese encephalitis. And I was questioning whether or not I needed to actually get it. Mm. But then I read 7 and 9 News mentioned that there was an outbreak in New South Wales and in lot of Asian countries. No, so I was glad that I got it. Yeah,
I know.
What was the most expensive vaccine you got out of the 6?
Japanese encephalitis.
How much did you
get it?
$400.
Oh my goodness.
That's like ridiculous.
Wait, I need to get that if it's in New South Wales. Mm. Oh my gosh.
I think it's more, it's not high risk, but they've just found it in some mosquitoes.
This reminds me of my experience when I went to South America last year. I probably went with like a few months to go. And it wasn't only the vaccinations, it was also the medication for malaria, which I soon realized was only really a thing in Australia. Like no one else, no other countries were taking this malaria medication. But I think it ended up being the equivalent of $400 because I was gone for 3 months.
Whoa.
I took it the first day I arrived. Mixed with altitude sickness, I had the worst dreams. I was feverish and I went, no, I'm not taking it. So now I have $400 worth of malaria medication sitting in my bathroom.
Hit up Gabby if you need malaria medication.
People do sell it on Facebook Marketplace. How wild is that? Because it's so expensive.
It is so expensive.
Oh my God.
And you have to start taking it before you leave and then every day whilst you're traveling. And no one, I mean, I had never considered that that was something you had to do. And my doctor was like, you're not alone in your shock. Like everyone questions this. And I said, well.
So I guess the lesson is if you plan on traveling anywhere at all, book an appointment to see your GP just to get their advice. You don't have to take it, but just say, hey, I'm traveling to like South America or Asia. And they'll give you a list of vaccines you should get.
And they'll also ask for your itinerary. So what you plan on doing over there. For example, I'm going to be hiking in the jungle. Therefore, I need to be a little bit more careful and get rabies shots, etc.
Dare I say it, you make a good point. You can take their advice or you can opt out of it. I mean, that's a debate for another day.
Yeah.
It seems that we do it differently here in Australia. So
we are overly cautious, maybe. Yeah,
I like it though.
And a lot of people can't afford a $400 vaccination that they might not even need. Or, you know, it's like spread through mosquitoes. So is a repellent enough? Are the mosquito nets enough? Like, you never know. And Gab, you're heading to Thailand, aren't you?
I am. It's my mum's 60th birthday. And I'm going with my mum and my sister and our partners, but we've never traveled overseas before together. And I'm nervous, to be quite frank, about the dynamic overseas.
Do you live at home with your mum?
I don't. I moved to Melbourne about 4 years ago. It is going to be big. And I feel like we're all like recruiting different people to help. Like,
yes. Buffers.
Buffers.
Oh my God, the buffers. It's like Christmas Day. You bring all your partners. Fight. God, bro, our Christmas Day.
We didn't have any buffers, so of course.
Oh my God, of course. There was emotions running high. I was crying. I was fine.
No, it's people, so true.
Oh God.
Yeah. Family members are on their best behavior when there's third parties.
Oh yeah.
I have noticed that we're all at our best when we're all away from our natural environment. So I feel like being overseas surely is going to be, when you've got like so much like neurodiversity, it can just be, you know, it can just be difficult. So it's all trial and error, really. Mm-hmm.
And being in a new environment and exploring it together, you're all distracted. Your like attention is shifted and it's like neutral ground. But when you're at family Christmas at home or something, it can be scary.
I have requested that everyone brings a book, like some form of entertainment, because when no one comes with any distraction, things start to fall apart.
When you deliberately like go and annoy someone, like if I was like when I was living at home and I was really bored, I'd like skip over to mom and deliberately just annoy her, just some form
jump
of
on her bed. Yeah.
God, sorry, mom.
And finding pockets of alone time, very important.
Oh my God.
Especially
Deacon
when you're
in
your family. Yes.
Yeah. Big time. It was like when I was with my parents in the Gold Coast. Christian, my brother, will refuse to come on a family holiday if I'm going to be there because he hates sharing a room.
Sharing a room?
So I literally got up at like 8 a.m. every day, and they were talking like New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Like, I didn't want Dad to know that I sleep till like 10 every day when I'm not living at home. So I got up so early. I mean, I know 8 o'clock is not early, but compared to...
That's early. Yeah. No, it is. It is early. Gab's like, that's a sleep in. But you know what, Gab? Travel in general, but especially so with family, is going to be messy. There's going to be obstacles, but you will probably come back from it a lot stronger and more connected.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so. Speaking of mess and chaos, this is Messy by Lola Young on Breaking Waves.
You know I'm impatient, so why would you leave me waiting outside the station? When it was like -4 degrees and I get what you're saying. I just really don't want to hear it right now. Can you shut up for like once in your life? Listen to me. I took your nice words of advice about how you think I'm gonna die lucky if I turn 33. Okay, so yeah, I smoke like a chimney. I'm not skinny and I pull a Britney every other week. But cut me some slack. Who do you want me to be?
You're listening to Breaking Waves with Alex and Jules and special guest Gabby Scott. You know what's interesting? This is so ironic that I'm sharing this, but privacy is one of my New Year's resolutions. Like, don't overshare just because someone is being nice to you.
Tell us more about that.
I'm not, honestly, but I know, like, this world, I swear privacy is just an illusion. Like, every move, click, conversation is tracked, especially Meta. Like, they hold so much control. Like, I don't know how to get off Instagram.
I was going to ask, is that, what would that look like on social media for you?
Honestly, I never really post a lot. But with privacy, it's not oversharing in person. Social media, I don't have an issue with sharing because I rarely post.
Do you have a private account?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I went on private last year and I felt this big sigh of relief. Because you know what? People were requesting to follow me after I went private. But interesting people. I was like, funny that this timing occurred.
When you talk about like sharing in public and being more private, is that because you're feeling this distrust for people and what they're going to do with your information? Or like, what do you mean by that?
That's definitely part of it. But the main thing is just when, you know, when someone's being like super nice to you or you're with friends and then, or there's a silence in a conversation and then you keep talking and then you overshare and you're like, why did I say that? So it's honestly, I feel like it's something that you have to practice. Practice sitting in silence and not trying to continue the conversation. I'm not trying to get close to someone by sharing any of your life.
And also a pearl of wisdom from my therapist is learning to pause and think about what you're going to say. Because she'll ask me a question and I'm immediately answering it. She's like, well, you haven't actually sat and thought about it.
I was with my really anxious friend only recently, and we were trying to mansplain to a man what oversharing was, because he was like, well, isn't that just connecting, which I do agree with, but oversharing is like when you leave the conversation feeling really anxious that you've crossed your own boundary and you're like, oh wait, they know a piece of me that I hadn't even processed yet.
Yes.
Completely. It's your having like secrecy with yourself or having a boundary with yourself. This is something I've decided I don't want to share with people for whatever reason. And then sticking to that. It's like keeping a secret from a friend who you like love and trust and hope trusts you, you know, but you don't, because a lot of the time, if you're distrusting of yourself, you're just going to be like disrespecting all of your boundaries.
Can I say on that note, I had a period last night where Juliet and I were discussing some private stuff and I held back from a secret that could have really changed your perception of me.
No way. This is an open space. No one else is listening except us three. So do you want to share?
Yeah. Good one, Alex. No, definitely not on air.
You know what is, I think, such an invasion of privacy? A new feature on Instagram when you pinch zoom into someone's photo. Apparently that person receives a notification saying like @ this person zoomed in on your photo.
What?
I pray that it is not true, but the internet has screenshots. I'm actually scared because I don't think it's for private accounts, but I'm not going to turn public just to test that theory.
Damn, I'm public. No, for okay.
You public? Yeah. I was going to ask what your like habits, social media habits are on Instagram.
Well, I'm definitely a passive user. Oh, I hate it. I'm trying to segue into more active using, like, because it then becomes more of a creative outlet. What about you? What are your Instagram habits?
Well, I've, for the past probably year or so now, have deleted the app off my phone. I have a tricky relationship with it because I find it really correlates with the more time I spend on Instagram, the more anxious or in my head I am. And also I compare myself to people. I just waste so much time on it because I think I unfortunately struggle to maintain a balance. I know a lot of people who use it creatively and have a great relationship with it.
What do you consume on Instagram?
So I've actually been curating it more. Like I go on my desktop, which is, I call it a relapse when it happens, but memes. I love a meme or like inspirational quote, like Hope Core. Like I love that. And it's just like the waste of time. I'm like, I don't need to be on this. And you always end up seeing things trickle in that you don't want to see, polarizing debates, whatever it may be.
What about you, Alex? Are you on it a lot?
I am. I have set a timer, but it's pointless because all you have to do is like unlock for today and then put your password in and then boom, you're back on. But the issue is my algorithm. It's so good. Meta has really zoned in on everything I'm interested in and has just put it on my For You page. And it's such an issue.
I know.
It's such an issue. I spend like maybe, I try not to spend an hour on it a day. So like I'll try like max an hour. And that's like not just, that's usually sitting in bed at night.
Do you stick to it?
Yeah.
A lot of, yes. That's a lot good. Of the time.
Yeah.
Unless I like really have to go past it because it just, it doesn't feel good. But sometimes it does.
It feels great. I would argue actually. No. Like, don't you think it's just so entertaining to like scroll through it,
especially it when is. Everything's like all the funny videos, like when you like one funny video it's then like scroll and it's just like funny and then you're like 3 hours later.
Completely. I mean, also for travel inspiration, cooking inspiration,
that's the thing, isn't it? There is so much good on it. There is, but it's about, because the algorithm, as you were saying, it's about interacting with the good things and sort of having more control over what content they're feeding you.
And I recommend setting a timer. So if you're on Instagram and you're finding yourself just like stuck on it, get out of the app, go into timer.
Another app.
And then, yeah, and then put a timer on for like 10, 15 minutes and then that's it. You have to get off.
Go for a walk.
You have to have self-control. Like no one's going to make you get off it.
I know.
That's true. That except actually, it's parents. Designed to keep you on it. So good luck literally breaking through.
When I met my partner and he wasn't on social media, I genuinely was like, how do you do that? Like, how do you live without Instagram? I struggled. There was a few... maybe like a year and a half I wasn't on it and I felt the best I've ever been.
That's amazing.
Know. Yeah.
Honestly, people who don't have Instagram, I have this distrust. For example, I was talking to a guy on Hinge and he asked me for my number and I was like, here's my Insta instead. And he said, oh, I don't have Instagram. And then I just never responded again because if you're an athlete, why don't you have Instagram?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make sense. Like, are you engaged? Do you have a girlfriend?
What are you hiding?
Exactly. What are you hiding? It's like, maybe he wasn't hiding anything, but I was like, still, I was like, nope, not going down that road just in case.
Well, like, I guess, yeah, like I said before, I mean, my partner doesn't have Instagram and it's actually refreshing because I know so many, I shouldn't say women, but only from my experience, like so many women in my life are really hyper fixated and focusing on things they've liked, who they're following. And I just like love to not like to disengage from that. So there's also that on the flip side.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe men are just more private.
It's true. They also just historically and on a societal level don't have to worry as much about external validation. Like we are kind of bred to worry about approval and what people, men specifically, think about us. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of in a way marketing ourselves a lot of the time on Instagram.
Great point.
It's like when you post and you just spend the next like 5 hours refreshing, checking who's commented, checking who's liked. I turn my phone off immediately and just like put it away for an hour because it honestly is the best feeling when you go back onto your phone and it's like so many likes and so many comments. You're like, okay.
But that, now. But that is external. That's the external value. Yeah, and it is so validating. The there's no... absolutely, it's validating, but I think it got to a point where I was like, I no longer want this to be the validation that I'm receiving.
Have you ever posted a Instagram story? I know you have. It doesn't even have to be, it can be a song, it can be of your face, like the content's irrelevant, but you're checking it every 5 seconds to
for
see
one,
who's
looked at. One person.
Do you know what, for me it's not even one person, it's like who are these, which of my high school friends are still. It's embarrassing to admit, really.
No, but you know what? It's brave. Every single person does that, or at least like 90% of the people do that. Like, who posts something for every single one of their followers? Like, no.
Yes, and you're rarely doing it like for you. Like, let's be real. I hadn't posted a story or anything in so long, like literally maybe a year. And I posted like a basil plant because I had met someone a week before at a bar who I was like interested in, who followed me. Like, I'm not kidding.
That's why you posted it. I was like, this is so random.
I didn't really know that's why, but then he saw it and I was like, woo. And I realized, oh shit, I wanted you to know a little bit more about my interests in like a very indirect, weird way.
Let it be weird. Did he like it or hit you up, Jules?
He was the like first person to view it, which is bizarre. Oh.
My favorite thing is posting a song that I like at the moment on my story, mainly just because like I like having that recollection. I mean, that's what Spotify's for, but like to know that was the one I decided to share.
This is the part of me that I want people to see, but then it's like you're curating.
It's curation.
It's really hard to like pinpoint.
We're just art curators in our own lives.
It's funny. We went from like privacy and trying to how to stay off social media to this is why it is great.
But
disabling notifications, biggest recommendation to stay off social media, even if it's the app and deleting the app off your phone. Oh, well, actually, you don't need to.
I have a joke for any psychology people or students listening. It's Rip Pavlov. You would have loved notifications.
Rip Pavlov. Okay.
He
check out his Instagram.
They'll get it.
I laughed away from the mic.
Check out Pavlov's Instagram. But on the point of how people perceive us in the social media age, this is Thievery Corporation with All That We Perceive on Eastside. Everything that's real. Seeing, catching up with one of your male friends tonight, aren't you?
Yes, I love male-female friendships because doing activities is, I feel like that's how guys bond, by engaging in like shared activities like sport, whilst us
so
women,
true.
We tend to bond through like disclosing secrets or like talking, gossiping. And that's what I was saying about before, the privacy thing. It's about don't overshare just because someone's being nice to you.
I will say, men know how to gossip. And I think that that is so overlooked sometimes.
Because
they do
so
it
mean,
very slyly. They're like a little bit less avert with it. And so then you realize they're pulling some strings. But we're all great at gossiping.
When it comes to your guy best friend, though, they, when they're comfortable around you, they can be so mean. Like, actually, we're more sly. We're like, sure, clothes are, yeah. But guys are straight up like, she's a... And you're like, that is,
I feel like,
so
you
rude.
Don't have to do as much like mental work with men.
Guys,
I mean,
friends,
in terms of figuring out what they're, no, that sounds horrible.
No, it's
I just don't, I'm not like constantly questioning what they're thinking all the time. And I find them hilarious.
Yeah, they say it how it is.
Exactly. They are so, like, you know what they're thinking because they're going to tell you. And when they're quiet, they're just not thinking a lot of the time.
To finish a show, what is the best part of having, like, a female-male friendship? I think it's getting a guy's perspective on situations, like, with other guys. What would you say, Gabby?
Super laid back. And my nervous system is just way more regulated.
Yes, lovely. Completely.
Yeah,
they ground
still.
You a little bit.
100%.
And sometimes you need the lighthearted, like jokey. It doesn't always have to be so deep and emotional.
Yeah.
But that is obviously an amazing feature of a female friendship.
Just masculine energy in general. We need it.
I'd be like, stop overthinking. It is what it is.
Yeah. And you can get your masculine energy in a female. So true.
Honestly, this is your task, everyone. Go out and try and make a friendship with the opposite sex. Why not? Explore it. And it's not really sexually common, explore, especially when you're like older.
Exploration.
Yeah, if you're married, don't like sexually explore it, but
you can if you've decided
marriage. That's allowed. Well, we're gonna finish that here. That was Breaking Waves with Alex Healy, Jill Scott, and thank you so much, Gabby, for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Woo. This has been so much fun.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.